Welcome back, everyone. Going to the second hour here of Roleplay's 50th episode of Roleplay Swan Song. Adam, what's up?
Well, I guess the jig is up. Jeff has left the show.
Yep. He's gone.
GG.
Thanks for coming, everybody.
It'll be hard.
He's gone.
Well, we'll have to carry on without him. So,
Adam, I demand that we fight something right now.
Yeah, all right. So you get there and pirates.
Yes. Good.
Jeff is gone. I can finally destroy you. So you get there, you arrive in system, and we see Kamna in its sort of Yavin-esque splendor, you know, this like vast, impenetrable kind of rust-colored jungle, and like a huge, thousands of years old stone, like Buddha statue carved out of the side of a mountain. And we pan up to space, and entering Kamnan orbit, we see the swan song. And on board, Eric, you are receiving, actually, I guess everybody's getting, you're getting those like welcome to the system like messages. I think that Eric, yours, you get a bunch of like Hovaden government bulletins updating you on the like debates and changes made to local Sharia law, regulations, you know, that kind of stuff for the system. Particularly, there's a broadcast about if you're entering Hovaden space for the Hajj, please, we ask you to be patient with your fellow travelers, that this is a very busy time and sacred and special to all of us. And so, you know, increased security is to be expected. And there's also a message in there about a hadith. A hadith is it's like a ruling kind of on Islamic law. Basically, it's an interpretation of the words, actions, or habits of the Prophet Muhammad. Mm-hmm. And this particular hadith is about, if you read between the lines, it's about these psi crystals. It's sort of stamped by the Mubarizun. You recognize their fingerprints all over it. And it's like, there have been increased reports of unusual substances in some of the other worlds. If you encounter something like this, please contact a member of the Mubarizun or your local embassy. Basically, it's just saying, like, according to the principles of Muhammad's teachings, it quotes the Quran in a bunch of places, but basically just says, like, if you see a weird thing, tell us about it. And the Mubarizun use these in lots of ways to gently nudge the populace of the caliphate in certain directions.
It's the if you see something, say something of the
yeah. Okay. It's like if you see something, Muhammad says, say something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like a gentle nudging of the behaviors. So you also have a message from Rashid, and Rashid gets back to you, he says. He's like, well, so it's very busy, and you know, research has been intense, and with the Hajj beginning so soon, I'm sure that we're all going to be, you know, working, you know, double time. So, if you find yourself back home in Caliphate space at any time, like, feel free to look me up. But like, he's kind of politely using the fact that you're not around as an excuse
to expect
you not to get this message for a week, and it's like, so you know. And then, yeah, you arrive, and it's like, would you like to contact this user live? Like, when you, because your UI of your system brings up a prompt when you're in the same system.
Yeah, totally. I think I'm like, absolutely, yes. And like, I don't even register, right? I'm just like, oh, the next time I'm in system, I should look him up. Okay, here I am.
Boom. Yeah. Okay. So, Higgs, you receive... like similar, like ship-wide kind of instructions from local planetary government. You know, there's a lot of traffic. Like, this is a very populous part of space, especially now because there's all this extra ship traffic.
Uh-huh.
So for you, it's actually going to be easier to keep the ship from getting noticed because of all the extra Hajj traffic that's just beginning.
Great.
Yeah. So it doesn't like it. There's probably like a notice that. That is like, normally these are the procedures for entering our space and how you have to register and stuff. And it's like, well, because of a higher volume, we've reduced the requirements on registration and all this stuff. So you actually have a lot more kind of time and space to manage around that.
Okay.
So are you doing anything? And I guess this is a question for Alfarius too. Based on what you know about Eric's plan. Are you doing anything to like stay particularly under the radar, or what?
On the planet itself?
Just now that you're in Hovedan space, right? Like Hoveda is a pretty, like you would know as someone who runs cons and has lots of contacts in the criminal underworld, this is a hard place to do a job. There are a lot of people here, but they're highly policed.
Right.
So yeah, there's a chance that, you know, you might get noticed, mitigated by the fact that there's a lot more people here right now.
I mean, I think we just both stick to the, we're kind of in like support mode of whatever Eric is saying he needs to do and whatever Kia says that she needs to do. Because otherwise, like that.
What, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, that's. We don't know what the fuck we're doing when it comes to this science shit.
Yeah.
Like, Eric talks, and we're just kind of like, all right, man, whatever is cool. Please. Yeah. And so we're just there, like, helping him. So if that means, if he needs to go anywhere, then we do our best to, like, make sure that, you know, Jeff is supporting in security, and I'm making sure that no one notices us.
Yeah, I think the attitude is just like Higgins. Where JP just said is, we don't really know what's happening, but this is like our best lead. So we're in like close to the finish line, deathly serious security mode. Like,
yeah.
Alfarious is not laughing. He's not making any jokes. He's had a little bit more personality lately, but now he's just dead quiet, lockjawed, and has his rifle.
Yeah, you're just like on. Yeah, and you, I mean, you know, like if it comes down to a fight between you and the Mbari Zun, like they are all trained like commandos, psychic commandos. So you're going to have to work extra overtime to keep all these people alive, if that's what it comes to. Yep. So, okay. So looking forward to helping helping all them keep alive and safe. All right. So, so Eric, do you make that call to Rashid alone or?
Yeah, totally. I mean,
you just like, yeah. Okay. And so I think it rings a couple of times on his end, like, you know, rings, it like goes to connect. And then a little girl answers the like vid phone. She's maybe like 10 or 11. She's got her hair up in like pigtails. And you can hear noise in the background, like someone speaking Arabic, probably saying her name and like telling her not to answer the phone or like to get away from there or something. Right, yeah. Like an older woman's voice. And she just like pokes the button and she's like, hello. And she's saying all this is in Arabic.
Okay. Yeah. I think since we're talking in Arabic, Eric's like, oh, hello. It's nice to see you today. I hope that you're well. My name is Eric Fretheim, and I'm calling on behalf of the Swan Song. I'm searching for Dr. Efren Rashid. Is he home? Or are you? Is he available?
Yeah, she like kind of screws up her brow and looks into the little holocam, and she says, "Dr. Rashid is my dad. Who are you? Eric is a funny name."
Eric is a funny name. I come from Sigrid. It's very far away. I needed to speak with your father. It's very important.
And she nods. She's like, I'll get him. And she doesn't go anywhere so much as like turn around and shout. Like in
like over here from the edge of my camera, I've got like a little dinosaur head that comes poking out. And then I say,
I really need to speak with Dr. Rashid too.
Yeah. She kind of turns and gives you side eye and like looks. And then she shouts in Arabic. She's like, Father, some white man I don't know and a dinosaur wish to speak with you. And then there's a shout from the other room. It's like, what? And she repeats it. And he's like, he doesn't say anything. And then the older woman is like, get away from there. And you see this woman like come over and like scoop her up. And she like protests and kind of gets carried out of range of the holo projector. And then a slightly frazzled looking, like he's got his tie undone, Dr. Rashid comes and sits down in the chair next to the holo projector and like kind of like fixes his hair before he looks at it. And he sees you holding this little plastic dinosaur.
Oh, hello.
And I think he laughs, like he just chuckles, and he's like, Eric, I did not expect to hear from you. You are in Mulimi.
Sorry. We were on transit, in fact, to Kamna, which is why I reached out to you, because I knew you were on the planet. Listen, it's what we're trying to do here is it's so important, and I think if I've done the calculations right, it will take a day at best, and we can all return to the Hajj in good time.
He says, my family and I were planning to leave tomorrow, but if you are here, I want to help you this. And he like looks over his shoulder and he's like, we should not speak of this now. I will contact you again in, he like looks at his watch, in 1 hour.
I understand. Is there somewhere secure I should go? Somewhere I can have a connection that's untapped?
No, stay on your ship. I'll get in touch with you.
Excellent. Ephraim, it's good to see you again. It's been a long time.
And as he's standing up, he turns and kind of casually says to you, whether or not it is good to see each other again, we will let God decide. And he kind of like gives you a wink, and then he hits the button. And you can hear him like starting a sentence. He's talking to his mother and to his daughter as he like hangs up the phone.
Cool.
So within a few hours, you find yourselves within range of the local exchange refueling station, where you're able to stop outside of Cumnan orbit and get the ship refueled up.
Cool.
So how much have you told Alfarious and Higgs and Kia about like the plan?
Well, Kia, I think is fairly fully aware of like the, as best as Eric can explain, of the theory behind what needs to happen. But basically, as far as Eric can make out from the readings that he's doing and the, you know, psionic calculations that he's performing, and he's got like pages and pages of notes and formulas and like, you know, diagrams and things like that that he's been doing in the past 2 weeks. What he needs is some large mass of these crystals in order to focus his metapsionic efforts through. He needs to form some sort of metapsionic link with Kia, teleport, and then while he's in the subspace, he needs to open his metapsionic mind, attune the resonance of Kia to the resonance of Piani, and then allow them to basically align so that the universe, like, it's almost like a magnet. When you bring two opposing sides too close to each other, then like poop, they'll flip and like the sides will snap to each other. Yeah, that's what he needs to do. He needs to bring the universes close enough to each other that they flip.
I love how either intentionally or otherwise, you just did exactly what every episode of Star Trek has ever done in describing Star Trek would use two characters. You would have described it like science, and then Higgs would have been like, oh, like
it's like a magnet flipping. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but that is the theory. But I guess my question is like the science stuff, obviously that's what Eric explains first, but like there's a real physical danger involved here, right? Like you're going into very controlled territory. You don't pass any of that along. You're not like,
I think like I've let them know that we're being followed by the Mubarizun. We are, like, they are dangerous, they are close, and we are basically entering their controlled space. And so, like, contacting Dr. Rashid was our way of trying to get, like, that back door so we can get lab access, do the thing, and get out before the Mubarizun get to us. But they know that that risk is a very real risk. And I think, like, as far as the technical stuff, you know, Higgs's eyes glaze over as soon as I start talking about it at all, and it's probably just over Alfarious's head, so... Yeah. Alfarious probably keys back in when I'm like, it's like two magnets sort of flipping around each other, but everything prior to that is like,
I guess, do you, let's, you're on the bridge then, and like you're explaining, like re-explaining or explaining this stuff for the first time. Like, Alfarious, do you have any questions for Eric about what's going to happen or what's ahead of you?
I don't think he would. I think he knows that the people that they're looking at, you know, the hit squad that they're looking out for is the main suspect and that they need to keep a low profile. I think as far as the actual operation itself, he's completely leaving that to them.
Okay. All right. So there is this sort of tense unknowing, this feeling on board of like, not knowing what's going on. Now, Kia, for you, the last like 12 days or so have been, I guess, like some of the only, it's like 12 consecutive days where you haven't had any bad dreams. Like you've slept like physically maybe a little uncomfortably at first, but once you acclimatize to sleeping on the ship, like no nightmares at all, like just a deep, dark, no dreams kind of sleep. And you wake up feeling like refreshed and with a sense of, I don't know, how do you feel with that happening, right? Like, you know, you've been plagued with nightmares for the better part of a year.
Yeah, I guess like I start to question, like, well, maybe it's because I've been keeping this journal, or maybe it's because I'm actually in contact with these folks and like there is nothing. But then there's also like a, why am I not? Is something wrong with me? So there's probably a lot of sort of confusion, but ultimately I feel like that my belief that Eric is the key to this is still strong. So I'm kind of like going with that.
So is regular like study of scripture a thing that kind of like centers Kia? Is that something you do? Are you one of those kinds of people, or do you
normally? But I think more than anything, it's like looking for answers of what's happening now in the scripture.
Yeah. Okay. I think you come back to it's actually a secular source. There's an interview that the new prophet did on the Galactic News Network. It was an audio only, one of the earliest recordings of the prophet's voice. He still kind of got his Hoveden accent. Like you can hear a little bit of the like Arabic in his accent. And he's telling the interviewer about a revelation he had while he was in drive space on his first visit to Strophios. And he's talking about how, you know, sometimes people have these visions if they stare out the window too long when they're in drive space, and that, you know, old hat kind of space pirates, you know, often will tell these stories about what they saw outside the ship. And he talks about how he was on the bridge of this really scrappy space liner, and he was standing with the captain, and there was a kind of lull in the conversation. He looked out the window into the kind of glorious color of God's highway, and he felt a sense of closeness with the divine in this space, that somehow it was man's destiny to travel between the stars, and that he always found that it was comforting to move from place to place. He felt that it was his part of his mission mission in the Christian sense of like spreading the gospel. It was part of his mission to travel these sacred star lanes. And I think that maybe the intonation in his voice, you've studied obviously the transmissions of the prophet, you know, a good part of your life. That story kind of keeps coming back to you while you're on the ship. And maybe it contrasts with the idea you're kind of riding the devil's horse through the Holy Land.
Right. And maybe, I mean, to that point, you know, there's always a search for these broadcasts. So maybe a lot of my time is also just spent in the radio room, like listening.
Yeah. Okay. So you've kind of like set up in the comms facility.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's funny because I think some people like Strophios has become the new sort of capital of your religion. That's the kind of established Holy Land. It's a place that the prophet decided would be the Holy Land, rather than like there are places in Hoveden space that are still considered sacred, like the prophet's birthplace. How does it feel being in caliphate space? Like this is where the prophet was born. This is where your religion started, somewhere on one of the worlds. And when he's like,
yeah, there's definitely like an air of excitement amongst that. Like, even though there's like, it's precursed by a lot of stuff that we're focusing on, I think there's like a certain level of almost excitement. If anything, maybe it lifts spirits a bit.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because I think that Hoveden space, it's not a site of inherent holiness, but it's a bit like the church that Martin Luther nailed the proclamation to, right? It's a place where something important started for your
life. Right.
Okay, cool. So there is this sort of sense, I think, on board of tension. You get a message. I guess it just comes straight back to the ship. From an encrypted source. I think Higgs, you notice it first. There's a like an incoming transmission request. You can't tell where it's from. I'm just asking to connect with the comm system.
Okay. Higgs, are we like on the deck or something?
Yeah, I figure you're all kind of like, I think this is one of those times where people are trying to find something to do, something to keep busy, right? So you're probably on the bridge. That seems to be where you gravitate.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I look down at the message, and since I can't understand it, I'm just like, hey, Piana, can you? And I just like slump a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, well, I guess I'm just going to, all right. And then I just open whatever it is instead of having her like run diagnostics on it.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. It connects. There's a like a your system connecting with their system. There's some quick rerouting of the software, and yeah, and then a man's voice comes on over the speaker just on the bridge, like your personal comms. He says some stuff in maybe you recognize it as Arabic, but a language you don't understand.
Does anyone understand Eric? Do you understand what's that being?
So yeah, Eric's not there, but you can certainly call.
You can,
him.
Like patch through to me, yeah.
Or Pat, can you just translate this? Can you make sense of this?
Yes, I think this is the person that Eric was speaking with earlier, the doctor.
Oh, okay. I just mute him and say, Eric, real loud.
No, yes, Mr. Higgins.
Yeah, there's a man on the phone. I think he wants to talk to you. That's what okay. Pa said. I don't understand this language. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much. And then yep. I turn on my comms and I say, you know, wassalamu alaikum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Rashid, and you can hear the obvious sound of encryption protocol running on the like speech. Whatever he's saying, yeah. the high and low ends
are a little bit vocoded,
yeah, right. Buzzing out a little bit, but it's definitely him.
Cool.
He says, "Eric, I don't have long.
Thank you for calling me again. I appreciate your time.
There are things happening here on Kamna." Dangerous things. Things that I do not think are in the best interest of the Caliphate. It's not my position to say anything, and if I were to, the Mabarizun would hear. They cannot hear us now. But that's why we need to keep this quick.
I understand.
There's a site we've been studying recently. It's designated as QA-138. We call it the Anomaly. It's in a cave structure below the surface. We originally thought that it was a burial site, but it looks like below that, well, you'll have to see it for yourself.
Yes. I'm sorry, is this at all related to my request?
I think that it might be. Some of the men, the first we sent in to excavate, they returned not well. They were having visions at first, and in some... And you can hear him. He pauses for a second as if the thing he's about to say doesn't make any kind of sense to him. Like he knows he's pausing because he's like, I'm about to say something that maybe he's never vocalized before. He's like,
yeah.
By all accounts, we have late adulthood onset metadimensional extroversion syndrome. It shouldn't be possible, but this place is making psychics, Eric.
That's amazing. Wow, God, I can't imagine what that information would do. But I can already see possible uses of such a site in our current predicament.
I looked into some of what you said about the crystals and about teleportation, and there are very strict protocols on this planet for not using psychic powers. Now, unfortunately, if we are creating untrained psychics, it's only a matter of time before some horrible emergency occurs. You're a smart man, Eric. Unorthodox, but intelligent. I am inclined to believe you, though what you told me in your message seems to be madness.
Caliphate and I never really got along too well.
It seems you have that problem wherever you go, Mr. Fredheim.
It does.
Fitting in is not your strong suit. But who better to explore an unusual place than an unusual man?
I think, you know, like there's like a moment Eric kind of takes it in and then he kind of nods just a little bit, you know. He's hearing it kind of for the first time. He says, yeah. Yeah.
whatever it is that you think that you need to do in this place, I can get you access. I cannot go with you. I'm going to take my family and we're going to leave for the capital, but I will give you credentials and that should be enough for you to begin. They're going to leave behind some secular authority, automated defense systems. This is a military facility now, though it wasn't when we began.
I understand.
Bypassing those are your own responsibility. I can only set you in the right direction.
It shouldn't be a problem. We have someone very adept at creating false identification on board. It'll be fine.
And so he says to you, Eric, whatever it is that you do in whatever way that it goes, I need to tell you, if you end up destroying the entire universe, I'm going to be very cross with you.
Well, I permit you to tell me yourself in that event.
Good. Well, my family and I are leaving tonight. I'm going to send you the location of a spaceport. I want you to meet me there. The crowd should obfuscate us from... And you can hear him. He's about to say the Mubarizun, but he like can't even bring himself to say it in case he's like he's Voldemorting them, right? Like he's like... So he says the authorities instead.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So he's like, I will meet you there. And you can feel like, and I don't know how much Eric picks up on this, but you can feel like a kind of tension. Like in a lot of ways, it's not even about you or what you said or about any of this, but about the fact that now he has some way to externalize something that he's obviously been struggling with for a while.
Mm.
It's not really easy to be like a whistleblower in any part of the caliphate.
Yep. Totally. Yeah. I kind of nod and I say, we'll meet you there. And I'll say, Ephraim, there's a reason I reached out to you. I know you're a good man, and I know you make the right choices.
I think he laughs nervously, and he says, a good man or one easily bent to your will. You always were able to convince me to do foolish things.
If only I had that power with other people.
He laughs. He says, Consider it a gift from Allah. You are very special, Mr. Fredheim. And he kind of laughs and he says, I'm sorry we cannot meet on better circumstances. I have a family to think about now. You could tell me about your adventures. Perhaps if we all survive whatever is to come.
Yes, I'd like that. Maybe I'll meet you on the Hajj.
And if not, well, there's always heaven.
Yes.
And he sends you actually while you're talking, he sends you the coordinates.
Okay.
And he says, be very careful. Mubarizun are on the lookout for anything unusual. This is a dangerous time to be in Caliphate space. I will see you soon, God willing.
Yep. I give him the benedictions. We say our advice.
Okay. All right. So you have coordinates and a time.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I just go back to Higgs and I say, Mr. Higgins, we have my contact, Dr. Rashid, has told me something very interesting. Apparently, they've recently unearthed some ancient site here on the planet. And he thinks that it may be of material value in performing the operation that we're looking to perform. We should meet him at these coordinates. There's a landing pad. There's a crowd that will help disguise us, but he says that there are automated defenses. It's a military site that we would be breaking into. I sure wish Piani were here.
Well, we can bring some of the robots with us.
That's true. We do have a little more firepower on our side now.
What time are we supposed to be there?
I give the time.
You've got a specific window. Like he's like, I've got 15 minutes before I get on my flight. Like, can meet me here. We'll do the handoff and then that'll be it.
Yeah.
All right. Alfaris, that worked for you. We good to go? Any last minute things we need?
I'm ready.
All right, Pi, we need the robots ready. Let's go ahead and get them civilian clothed again.
And just for you, Adam, he has the pistol in his chest. And then he's got the rifle under the cloak again.
Okay. Right, so you're all geared up.
Give me a bandolier of grenades, by the way. I guess I can't put it in my chest, but I could have it like on my belt or something like that.
I have 18 more grenades, so yeah, totally. Eric's coming fully prepared.
No. 18 grenades is a lot.
I don't have 18. Let's call it 3. I have 3 grenades.
Yeah, you can keep them like on a belt.
Plus 15. Obviously.
You know what? Fuck it. It is. It's 18, Adam. All right. Everywhere. My shoulder pads, my knee pads.
Under every conceivable surface. Just 4 in the old jock strap.
I actually just blow up as I trip and fall down the ramp. And then
yeah. No, they just, one of the ones in your sleeve gets caught on a railing and then you blow up. It's horrible.
I've got 10 psychic crystals that I took from that room. I bring those two.
I guess you can put them in a satchel and just totally.
So you're taking your crystals.
You're taking your gold nuggets into the gold mine.
Yep, exactly. I want as much gold there as possible.
So we get the Alpharius commando load up sequence of like putting all your weapons together. Everybody's getting geared up as the ship heads towards Kamna, towards the loading bay. Okay. So most of the traffic here is off planet, right? It's the local colony. There's really only one settlement on Kamna. It's very much like a frontier, kind of like they've cleared the jungle away from an area. You've been here before. I think that as you arrive, you see there's that like Richardson Hovaden Caliphate like cooperative science facility there, and there's like the landing pad and kind of the little village that surrounds the area, and you come flying in towards the landing pad. And yeah, there's ships all over the place. They're all either government or Richardson cargo ships or vehicles for personnel transfer, and they're getting loaded up with people's families and everybody kind of like getting ready to leave the planet to head off towards the capital. They're going to kind of abandon, aside from some of the people that are going to keep security going. So you coming in, I think the Swan Song is one of the only ships going kind of against the crowd of offlifting ships, and you come down on a landing pad. And the automated system, you know, asks you like how long will you be staying, and starts sending you like billing information.
Mm. I guess it'll be like Higgs filling that out, right?
Yeah, Higgs. What do you tell it? Like, are you gonna use like fake credentials, and like what's the customs form situation that you fill out here? Like, what do you do?
I mean, I haven't. Did I pick up things in the past when Piani would make things that I could try to make a computer role?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. I love that idea where you're like, all right, how did Piani do this? What was that secret identities?
No. She probably just had like a computer program where she was like, run a falsification program.
Right. There's like a sticky note on the comms console. Higgs, it's control F. Then 2. Yeah. You want a secret identity? They're in the SI folder. Yeah, sure. You can make a computer's test for that.
All right, let me do that. This is based off end.
Yeah.
Any assist from Piani helping?
I don't think so. I think just having Piani on board is what will allow you to make the check.
Okay. I did my reroll in the first hour, right?
It was in the first hour. Yeah, you still got one for this one.
Fuck.
Good thing. Do you want to use it again?
Yeah. Yep. Fuck.
Dude. All right. So you kind of do your best. Like,
I counted both times, but I rolled -1.
It prompts you for identification file. And you're like, ID file. Yeah, this looks like it. And the first 3 times, it's like, invalid file type. And you're like, all right, fuck it. And grab one, throw it in. It's like, file type accepted. And it. They accept whatever identity you send, albeit temporarily. And,
yeah, I just use an old identity that I once was.
Yeah, some old ID for the ship. Yeah. And so the perimeter, the security systems allow you to land. And, the ship settles down. You get the kind of like A-OK light that you're in atmosphere. And, and Pi says, I says over the radio, the warbots are ready. I don't think that this disguise is going to fool anybody, but if you need firepower, they're here.
What's the disguise?
Just
like dressed in Higgs clothes.
Right? Just wearing human clothes.
Right. Okay.
We'll just say that we'll say they're part of Eric's stuff. He's a researcher, and these are the robots that help him do the research. I guess we'll just go with that.
Very important gun research.
Just don't mention the guns. We'll just have them hide the guns, and then we'll shoot the guns when we need them.
Very important non-gun related research.
That'll do.
Your assistant bots.
That'll do. All right. I guess let's get the show on the road.
Okay. All right. So I think we can, we probably cut to like a very brief meeting between you and Rashid, and he's like with his family. Maybe we actually cut to Rashid in the crowd. There's people getting on board ships. There's lots of like general kind of excitement in the air. People are going off to visit relatives they haven't seen in a long time, to go on this sort of spiritual journey home. Some of them, you know, haven't left Kamna in a long time, and plus a lot of people, as a colonizing power, they're looking forward to being like, we're just going to get off this savage planet and go home for a little while and leave that stuff behind.
It's the Hajj pilgrimage to Hoveda.
Yes, it's a symbolic Hajj because the like actual Mecca is lost to time and space, right? Mm-hmm. So it's almost like the Hajj has like a more funereal kind of quality where it's like mourning the ability to not perform the Hajj correctly.
Got it.
This sort of splinter version of Islam obviously is 1,000 years separated from the one we know, but there are some basic principles that have been adapted for it. And so, yeah, people are kind of getting on their ships and getting ready to leave the planet. And we see the crowd, and we see Rashid handing his wife his suitcases, and she's like making that kind of obvious body language. She's like, "Where are you going?" And he's like, "Oh, I forgot something. Just excuse me. I saw someone in the crowd. I need to say goodbye to. He's my boss. It would be rude." And so he like excuses himself from her and makes his way towards the swan song.
Cool.
And so. Alfarious, you're on security duty here. You can see the authorities kind of like moving people and like keeping peace in the crowd. And then you see a man pushing his way through, coming towards the ship.
Is it the doctor guy though?
I mean, you've never seen him before, but he's definitely like coming this way. Like he spotted the ship. But
he looks unimpressive, right?
Oh yeah, he looks like a slightly beleaguered, relatively like young scientist guy. Like he looks kind of nerdy. Right.
I shoot him in the head. Probably toss a grenade too.
Perfect.
okay, I definitely.
Him and everyone around him in like a 5 meter radius, they all die instantly. And then yeah, okay.
No, I just like I'm normally scanning around. I just kind of see him, stop, look at him, and then. And then I just kind of calm, like a man approaching, looks to be perhaps a scientist. Does anyone identify him or know him?
Eric, is that your guy?
Yes. Hello. Hi.
You wave to him.
Yeah. I like to take my hand off my gun a little bit as he says that.
Pushes his way through the crowd, and he comes up.
I start looking around again, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. And so you want to keep an eye out? Can you make a? Can you make a perception check for me, Alfarious?
Okay, I can do that. Is it a d20 or is it a 2d6?
It's 2d6. Yeah, 2d6 plus you have a zero in it.
How's a 10, do you?
Nice. Okay. Yeah, you've got a really solid idea of where all the potential threats are. You can see the like plain clothes, like obvious police around doing traffic control right now. But nobody seems to notice the ship aside from it originally like landing. It's fallen into the background of everybody's attention. Things seem pretty safe. So Eric, Ephraim, pushes through the last of the crowd and gets to the bottom of the metal ramp that it leads down from the swan song. And he sees you, and you can see this kind of look like, you haven't seen each other in like a decade, right?
Yeah.
What's your reaction like? Do you smile? Are you like is this like a firm handshake situation? Like, how well did you know Ephraim?
I think in the 10 years since he's seen me, I've put on a lot of muscle from being organic. So like, I used to just be like a dorky researcher guy, like really kind of skinny, maybe like a little skinny fat. And now I'm like jacked, not because I can't always lift shit with my mind. So like, I've been moving heavy metal objects around for 10 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, like, I kind of know that, like, when people see me from 10 years ago, that's their first reaction is, like,
whoa, Eric, you got
big. yeah, you're all swole now.
Yeah.
It's because I think that the two of you like have had conversations about how you didn't feel comfortable at home and how like, you know, physical strength was like a big thing. And so I think the first thing he says to you is like, he's like, by God, Eric, you look like a proper Viking. He like laughs.
Yeah, I kind of like grin a little bit and hang my head a bit. And I say, well, yeah, I guess it's what's on the inside that counts. Are we talking in English?
Yeah. He's like, he's being English for the sake of like the crew around.
Yeah. Yeah. I say,
And he says, have you been home recently? I heard there was some difficulty there.
Yes. I'm very concerned about that. I was going to suggest taking a visit. I received a letter from my mother, but unfortunately some routing stations are problematic with the exchange network and I wasn't able to get response to her. I'm a bit concerned. I'm hoping we can make a stop there after this.
And he nods sort of solemnly and he says, well, do not fear, Eric. Halah gives us only what we can handle. And you have more pressing matters in mind, I think. And he, as he says that, like, he goes to like shake your hand, but he doesn't like, he takes both hands and you can feel him like press like an ID card or something into your palm.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, I shake his hand and I glance at the ID card and then just tuck it in my pocket. I guess it's like an access.
Yeah, and he says to you, well, I don't think you'll fool anyone if they think you're trying to pretend to be me. You have a good, and he like looks at you. He's like, I'm going to say 4 feet on me now, but if you're trying to fool a computer, and as he's talking, he kind of trails off and he looks over at you, Kia.
Yeah, and that's what I said.
He switches to Arabic and he looks at Eric and he says, is this the one?
Yes, this is she. This is Kia. She's
so Kia, you notice that he looks at you and then stops speaking English right away.
Yeah.
And then he says she
looks, acts, even genetic markers such as fingerprints are exactly identical to our former crew member. It's remarkable. I've never heard of anything like it.
And he shakes his head and he says, this is truly fantastic. I can't believe it. And I would love to go with you if it weren't for my daughter and my family. And
I understand.
I have other priorities now, but he kind of smiles at you and he says, I'd like to imagine, and I've thought in the time since we last spoke, I thought that there is some other world, some version of myself out there that left when you did. Went on those adventures as you did, and that perhaps he like gestures to the swan song. He's like, perhaps I am in a ship like this as well.
I kind of laugh and I say, Ephraim, if Kia is anything to go by, then your alternate universe version is actually a much less interesting man.
Harsh burns in Arabic. he chuckles and he says, now, Eric. Let us not judge our fellows. Leave that to God. I'm sure that she has qualities that you have not yet seen. And so they're talking, Kia, and he looks at you again, and then they laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
so infuriating. This is obviously talking about you in another way.
Yeah, and it's. I mean, it's very frustrating, but also I feel like really out of place. Like I don't really have a place to
debate. Well, and also these are the people who. Like this would be like being, it's not like they didn't actively persecute the prophet, but they like basically kicked him out and treated him like shit and told him he was a heretic and everyone who follows him is a heretic. Like, you know, like the caliphate has treated your religion and the people who follow it like garbage.
Right.
As long as it's existed.
And for that reason, I think I'd take even more like just a backseat.
Yeah. Just kind of scowl at him.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And actually, like, in contrast to you feeling out of place, you actually, like, see Eric looking way more comfortable and way more in his own element.
Yeah, yeah. Eric seems
really talking with this other guy. Like, it's weird. You usually are used to see him being very awkward and very, like, self-conscious about, like, his body and his, like, hand positions and stuff. And now he's just kind of, like, relaxed.
All right. So, yeah, so I think that Dr. Rashid, maybe he like you hear someone shout in the crowd, and it's either it is his wife or he mistakes it for her. Looks over his shoulder and says to you, "I must go, Eric."
Oh, one last question: do you have any
psionic resonance recording mechanisms you'd like me to activate, maybe gather you interesting data about this. I don't want this to only benefit me. If you think there's researchable...
I think he starts to laugh when you say that, and he says, trust you, Eric, to be the only person who in the face of Armageddon would think to make a recording just in case something scientifically valuable comes through.
Well,
fine. Yes, if you have a chance to visit my office, it's on the second sub-basement. You'll recognize it. Turn on the recording suite from there. Any ambient readings will be recorded and sent off-world, sent home. I'll take a look at them if I get a chance.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, no, I nod and I shake his hand and I, you know, bid him farewell and I say, I will absolutely do that. After all, if by some miracle of chance we all happen to survive this, we'll want records. This is big effort.
And he turns to you, Higgs, and he switches to English, and he says, I hope that you knew what you were getting into when you brought this one on board. He's very dangerous. And what you're about to do, doubly so. You should be careful if you value your life. And you can see him smiling while he says it, but it maybe doesn't sound as jokey to you.
Right. Yeah, I probably smile a little bit. And then I look at Eric and I'm like, you know, I don't even remember how you came on board in the first place. But anyways, that's another story for another time. Thank you, sir.
He says to you again in Arabic, Eric, he says, well, my wife and daughter are waiting. I hope to see you at home, our home, when all of this is over.
Yes. I'll be in touch.
And he nods and says, God be with you. And disappears. Yeah, disappears into the crowd. So you look, I guess, and you have a... you've seen lots of these before. It's like a standard issue, like kind of Hovaden government. Yeah, it's like a card, basically a key card to be able to get you into a number of places during a time when hopefully the security will be a little lower than usual.
Okay, cool. Very nice. Yeah, I kind of turn around and I say, well, I think we should get going.
Okay.
Yeah.
So... The actual facility is like kind of isolated, like it's out a ways in the jungle. Like I said, they originally thought it was like a burial site. So archaeologists hit it first before anybody else. So you need to find a way to get there. The swan song can't really just like land in thick jungle.
Can't just like sand thrower.
Yeah, you could laser out like a square of jungle, like a dot sprinter, and then like land in it. But you could get there by foot.
We must have got like the coordinates marked on our maps and everything. I've got a nav computer which will help us navigate on foot through the jungle. I mean, overland. Mm-hmm. Like, are there, hang on. If we've got this access card,
yes,
surely we can go to like the nearby research station and quote unquote liberate some land speeders that can get us out there quickly.
There is almost certainly some kind of like road used by the scientists, but not very often because they live on site. Yeah. So it would more likely be like something locally run. So there's all these people leaving, but the original, I think that the original like inhabitants of this place are like Thai or like Southeast Asian, like Buddhist colonists basically. And they're like, see, bye everybody. But this is our home planet. There's still a bunch of them here. They probably are the ones that operate a lot of the like transit on planet. So you could probably hire someone to like lead you out there.
Nice. I feel like we don't want to hire anyone.
Yeah, I don't think we should hire anyone.
I feel like this is kind of a stealth mission.
Yeah. So you're just going to head out into the jungle?
Yeah. I mean, liberating some jet skis, yeah.
I mean, there's no real, like, it's jungle, right? Like, maybe there's like, actually, you know what? They get
those hover speeders from Star Wars.
They get access. I know what a fucking land speeder is, Steven. They get access to it. They get access to it by way of like a riverboat. It's totally upriver.
Cool.
And so you can like hire obtain, like a pontoon boat or something. And we can get all Heart of Darkness about this shit.
Sweet.
So maybe that's the last thing we see before the break, right? Is like, Eric, you're like organizing, or someone, or Higgs, something is like organizing like an exchange for a boat to take you upriver to the former temple.
Yeah, totally.
Great.
Okay, cool. So you're all like loading up into the boat, and we
got like a couple crates of psi crystals that we're stacking in the back of the boat and stuff.
Yeah. Cool. And the boat is one of those, like, it's like a flat bottom kind of, like, you're not meant to stay on it a long time, but it's got like a cargo area, and there's like a gun. There's literally like a laser like turret mount on the top. And it's So you like start piling in, and then we fade.
Does it look like the boat from Anaconda?
If that's what you want, yes. But more sci-fi. Exactly. The windows are holograms.
That's a reference, right? I have no idea why that just popped in my head, but that's what I thought of.
Yeah, it's like a...
You said riverboat, and I was like, Anaconda. That's
a riverboat. Yeah, see, I would have gone with J-Lo. Apocalypse Now, but Anaconda works too.
I've never seen Apocalypse Now, so there you go.
But it's so good.
I've never seen Citizen Kane, if we're going to go up that route. Anyways.
Wow, Citizen Kane is whatever.
But... let's take our second break. We'll come back and go into the third hour here of the 50th episode of Swan Song. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this quick break.